Jason Big Show, hour number three, 102.5 The Game on this Wednesday. We're live in Lebanon at the Duncan at 1645 West Main Street. You can come by and bring stuffed toys for the Nashville Children's Alliance. We're having a lot of fun today, kind of, you know, getting in the Christmas spirit and talking about God winks and everything. And it was 2 years ago yesterday. Joe and I are sitting in Key West, Florida, getting ready to come back, the first annual Chasing Big Joe Key West trip. And we got the unfortunate news that our buddy Frank Wycheck had passed away. And we say hello now to Kevin Ingram, who is on the line with us, who spent many a morning with Frankie back in the day on the old wake-up zone with the late, great Mark Howard as well. Kevin, how you doing?
Doing great, Chase. Great to talk to you guys.
Absolutely. And we obviously will talk some Vandy and everything, but it's hard to believe it's been 2 years since Frankie passed away. And we call him Frankie because there was Frank Wycheck, the football player, and then there was Frankie, that if you got to know Frankie, you knew you're pretty special.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Yeah, he was a one of a kind. Frankie or 89. I mean, we had a lot of fun together for all those years that he and I and Mark did the show together. We were together for 14 years on that morning show, and more fun than I could ever have imagined. Just such a great dude, great player. I got to know him when he still played, and then to have a chance to work with him and enjoy all those times with him was really special. And I think one of the things neat for me is Frank and I are exactly the same age. He was 2 weeks older than me, and so we kind of connected on stuff other than sports, not just football or whatever else. I mean, we liked all the same rock bands and Star Wars movies and all that kind of goofy stuff that people our age, you know, liked. And so I always thought that was fun to have that connection with him too. But yeah, I really miss those dudes. Miss Mark and Frank for sure.
Well, and you guys just had there was just something special about it. And you know, we've talked about history of sports radio in this town. Obviously, George deserves a ton of credit for that, and Willie and Darren and that whole group. And then you guys kind of moved that into the morning, and it evolved just over time to become just a staple that everybody knew. And the funny part was all three of you were very different personalities, but it worked.
It did. We were very different personalities. I mean, Frank came about it from the perspective of a guy who's been a terrific NFL player for a long time. Mark is kind of your, old school TV sportscaster, and also, you know, kind of had that Northeast personality to where he wasn't afraid to ruffle feathers. And then I came about it from the kind of the career radio guy who was just kind of put in there to keep the show on the rails and be sort of the moderator role, which I really enjoy. But I also enjoyed kind of, being in that role of sort of like a pro wrestling manager or something like that, where you hit somebody with a chair and then you run out of the ring. I always say that my shtick was a little bit based on like Jimmy Hart, the Mouth of the South, you know, where you kind of start it up, but then you let others kind of go at it. It was such fun. It was a great dynamic. And Paul Bible, our original producer, was kind of responsible for helping get that started too. And we really had a great time all those years we worked together.
Now, how many producers did you have? I know you had Paul Bible, you had Schaefer. Am I missing one?
We had Schaefer. We had Brandon Hagedy. Let me think. It seems like I'm missing somebody. Morgan Alexander helped us for a while. They were all terrific. All of them did a great job and kind of put their own sort of touch on the show. But, yeah, we enjoyed working with all those guys for those years.
We're talking to Kevin Ingram here on the Chasing Big Joe Show. You know, it's Kevin, I compared y'all's success to, for those who grew up here, watch the Ralph Emery show, right? You couldn't explain why Ralph Emery, why 98% of the people watch Ralph. You couldn't. You just had to watch. That was y'all's radio show. I mean, I'm sure every consultant in America probably hated your show because you guys went off the rails. But it was a massive success because you guys were all so different and everybody listened. And when you got your name mentioned on that show, it was exciting. I remember there were a few times you guys would mention stories I did in TV and I'd get all excited and people would call me. I don't think you realize the impact that you guys had on this community for so many years, because that show was so good and there's not been anything nearly like that around.
Well, I appreciate you saying that, Joe. And yeah, it was a unique show. And I always thought that Nashville needed a really strong morning sports show. I thought that for years, even before we started doing that show back in 2004. that, you know, you, like say on a Monday morning after a big football weekend, you kind of get that first crack at the stories and, you know, talking about what's going on and get that reaction, you know, from listeners and from us and everybody else. I always thought that was something that Nashville could really use. And, yeah, it did turn out that, you know, we're able to have that longevity and be on for that long and get a chance to give those reactions and hear those responses from callers and so forth and have a lot of fun along the way. You say that maybe didn't realize it at the time. I don't know that I did realize at the time, you know, how many people were really listening and how many we were connecting with. And to this day, I still have people come up to me every week and talk about how much they enjoy the show and miss listening to it. And that really means a lot that people will take the time to say something like that or say how much they appreciated or how much they enjoyed it. And, you know, now there's a generation of young broadcasters in their 20s I'll meet people sometime and they'll say, yeah, I grew up riding in the car with my dad to school listening to you guys. And, right. And I'm not sure exactly how I'm supposed to feel about that now at age 54, but it's neat that you have that sort of impact and influence on people. It's really cool.
Can you count on one hand how many times Frank showed up before the show started?
Yeah, or maybe stayed until the show ended. Yeah, it was always entertaining that part of it too. I tried to be the steady force and make sure I was there on time and ready to go. Mark would show up to a few minutes before we went on, and we always like to tease Mark about, you know, how many trees he would sacrifice for each broadcast. I mean, it was a mountain of paperwork. We called it his syllabus that he would bring in, and it was unbelievable how much info he had. And then Frank would, he'd be cutting it close some days, and, you know, a lot of, we joke, but a lot of the time, I mean, those guys were fine. They were there in plenty of time. There were sometimes we would do remotes, and it was a little questionable about who would be there when. I think there was one where he ran out of gas on the way to the show. I hadn't thought about that a long time.
Kirby's about to lose it.
Too, so. Oh man, it's unbelievable. But it was always entertaining to see how it was all going to work out on a day-to-day basis.
One of my favorites, Kevin Ingram is with us, was probably 2011. Metallica had played in Nashville. And, of course, if you knew Frank loved Metallica. And he had gone to the show the night before. He comes, I think he was late. He obviously had a good time at the show and, like, barely had a voice. And you and Mark were just giving him so much crap about just being a wreck, essentially, from going to the show the night before. And I just remember laughing that entire show because he powered through, I think. I think he made it the whole way, but he was struggling. And I've been there, so I get it.
Right. Yeah, I think I remember that one. There were a couple concert nights like that where we did the show the next day. There was one where we went to a Def Leppard show on a Friday night at Bridgestone. And it was pretty much the whole crew. And then the next morning we played in a charity golf scramble. And so, you know, me and Mark and Paul get there, and, you know, we're in the car, you know, we all get there, and Frank shows up, and he's wearing, you know, like plus fours, you know, like the old school golf attire. And, you know, and Frank, it was another deal where Frank had a good time at the concert the night before. So he shows up on the first tee. I'm like, man, there is no telling how this is going to go. And in true pro athlete form, he stands up there on the first tee and stripes it about 300 right down the middle. I'm like, man, these guys are on a different level from the rest of us.
We have a texter that says, ask Kevin about the impressions he did when Jimmy Frank left. That was funny as hell.
I do vaguely remember that. It seems like we did some sort of voice memo or something with Coach Franklin, and then I did a bunch of voices calling in to, I don't even know what the bit was about or what we were talking about. I do remember the bit they're talking about, though. We did a lot of stuff like that.
Oh, that's very good stuff. Shifting gears, Diego Pavia heads to New York as a finalist for the Heisman Trophy. I mean, look, I think we all believe he should win it here. When you look at the body of work and what he's done for the Commodores this year, we'll see what the voters decide. But nonetheless, first time in history that Vanderbilt has a Heisman finalist is pretty special, and on top of just a special year in general.
It really is. And for Diego to have a chance to go up there and be part of the ceremony and have a legit chance to win, I think is just amazing. You know, I thought all along throughout the season, you know, how neat it would be to just see him be a part of that ceremony that we've all watched on TV a million times. But as the season got a little deeper and toward, you know, in November and toward the end, and he played so well, I started thinking, no, he's got a legit chance to go up there and win this thing. I feel like, and I know I'm biased, and I'm probably looking at it with, you know, black and gold glasses here, but I think Diego should win the Heisman. I think he's the most impactful player, the best player on a really good team that won 10 games and, you know, came up just short of making the playoffs. But, I mean, you look at his numbers and compare him with the others who are being considered, and the other three are fantastic players, no question about it. But I think his numbers stack up as well or better in a lot of different categories. And if you really watch the games and saw the impact that he made on this team and this program, I'm not sure how you could pick anybody else. He's just been remarkable. He's a terrific football player for one thing, and the numbers bear that out. But just the competitor, the spirit, the, you know, positive energy, and all those things, the confidence he's brought to this program, I just don't think he can replicate.
Have you noticed or gone through this yourself, because you've been around the program for so long? But, you know, for me, growing up a Vanderbilt fan in Nashville, you know, if this had happened 10 years ago, we'd be throwing a parade. 10-2 season, going to a big-time bowl game, like a Heisman finalist. I mean, this is fantastic. But there's that sense of disappointment among the fan base that they didn't make it to the playoff, which is crazy to think about that was even possible. I'm now coming around to embracing the ReliaQuest Bowl and the Tampa and how special it's going to be. But it's just like, you know what I'm saying, that how funny it is to kind of look at it as, man, this is awesome. It's a historic year, but there's still that slight level of disappointment with the playoff.
Yeah, Chase, it really is. And I kind of feel the same way. I mean, it took me a little while to say, well, yeah, we're still, at worst case scenario, we're going to go to a terrific bowl. And I think it started to sit in probably about this time last week after you saw those rankings on Tuesday when Texas moved ahead of Vanderbilt in the playoff standings that, yeah, it's probably not going to happen despite all of our best efforts. And I salute Clark Lee and Candace Lee and everybody around our program for pulling out all the stops and doing everything they could to make Vanderbilt's case to be in the postseason. And I also appreciate the fact that Clark really took the high road and said all the right things and handled it all in a very classy way when it was all announced on Sunday. I thought that just made him and made our program just look great. It is exciting to be in a, you know, a bowl game that's right around New Year's and have a chance to go in there and play. And again, for this team to play together one more time, Clark was talking about how special that was. And you're where you won 10 games, went 6-2 in the SEC. And you're right. I mean, whatever happens in terms of the playoffs or bowls or any of that stuff, the fact that this program won 10 games and had the success that it did in the SEC, and the two losses were basically two close ones against outstanding teams on the road, Alabama and Texas. It is definitely cause for celebration, and this is a season and a team that will be remembered for a long time. It is unfortunate that they don't have a chance to kind of go a little bit farther and have a chance to potentially play for a national championship. That doesn't do anything to take away from what this team's accomplished.
Kevin Ingram is with us. I do have to ask you about the 9-0 undefeated Vanderbilt Commodores men's basketball team, as it's been quite the start to the season. Four games left before the conference schedule begins, including Central Arkansas coming up this Saturday at Memorial Gym at 5:30. This squad's looked pretty good so far, Kevin.
Yeah, they really have. They look fantastic. They play great. You score 96 points per game, you're going to win a lot of basketball games. But I think if you dig deeper and see how this team has played, it's a really fun style, for one thing, that Mark Byington has instilled in this program. But the way they share the ball, averaging 20 assists per game, which is just crazy. I mean, that's off the charts. And also the perimeter defense they've played, where every loose ball feels like it turns into a dunk at the other end, that just makes it a lot of fun. And, I mean, gosh, Duke Miles and Tyler Tanner, I mean, you look at the season box score, those two jump off the page, combining for about 34 points per game. You just had guys across the board have just really played well. Jalen Washington's come on lately and really gives Vanderbilt another big presence inside. Tyler Nichols, great shooter, and you got, you know, steady veterans like Devin McLaughlin. And, you know, adding a player like Frankie Collins, who can really defend and, you know, cause those steals and get a loose ball and start the break. I just think if fans haven't had a chance to see this team play, you need to get out to Memorial Gym or check out our broadcast or however you want to see it or listen to it, because it is a lot of fun. This is a great style. It's exciting basketball. And I'm really excited to see how this team does when you jump into SEC play and you play that grind of twice a week against those conference teams. And got a couple more tough non-conference games coming up with Memphis and Wake Forest still to come.
Well, Kevin, I just got an interesting email from the Southeastern Conference that Diego Pavia has been named the Offensive Player of the Year, and Clark Lee has once again been named the Coach of the Year from the Commodores in the SEC. So more honors continue to come in.
Well, that's fantastic. That's great news, and I think well-deserved for both. I think we probably felt like both those guys had a chance to win those awards, so that's really special. And Clark Lee, that's the second year in a row he's won Coach of the Year, and it's a really small list of people who have won that back-to-back. I mean, you're talking about Steve Spurrier and Bear Bryant and, you know, names like that. That's a select company that he joins, and I think, again, well-deserved for both those guys.
And have to mention Nick Rinaldi, Scholar Athlete of the Year as well.
Oh, wow. Well, good for Nick. Yeah, he's been a really positive addition to the program, too. Terrific linebacker, been a big part of the defense the last couple of years. Eli Stowers won that big award last night as the National Scholar Athlete of the Year in college football. So, Ooh. Man, it is award season for our program, so being recognized for all their terrific work.
Kevin, how would George Plaster thank Clark Lee on winning Coach of the Year?
Hey, Clark, this is George Plaster. I just want to say congratulations. I've been around this program a long time, going back to the late 70s, early 80s, and I just want to say congratulations on behalf of all of the Vanderbilt alums and Commodore Nation. And on that, I got to run.
One more. From one Coach of the Year to the other, what would Philip Fulmer say to Clark Lee?
Well, Coach Lee, this is Coach Fulmer. I mean, we're all awfully proud of you. You know, I was at Vanderbilt for a short time, and I didn't really like the way you guys came over and handled our football team a couple of weeks ago by 3 touchdowns. But, again, congratulations and all the best.
Oh, my goodness. Kevin, that is fantastic. People were texting in and calling in asking for you to do Plaz, but that was even better.
Chase and Joe, give me about 2 good minutes. Let's go to Chase on a car phone.
Well done. Kevin, appreciate the time, my friend. Thanks for having some fun with us, and we'll talk to you soon.
Hey, anytime, fellas. Take it easy.
Absolutely. Kevin Ingram from Vanderbilt. Oh, man, that was good.
Fulmer.
I have not heard the Fulmer in a long time.
Oh,
that was so
man.
Good. He's a Fisher, too, doesn't he?
He's got them all.
Yeah, that is good. We'll come back with more again live from Duncan here in Lebanon on 102.5 The Game.